7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to actually, you know what? I was going to say episode, but welcome to year two.
Oh, wow.
Of Color of Magic. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and have my co-host right here by my side, Brian Allen. How's it going, man?
Going well. I was going to say, I've read a bunch of year one comic books. What happened in year two to the heroes?
That's true. We do say year one a lot, don't we? I hadn't really thought about that. That's kind of weird.
Now somebody, you know, somebody's going to make a bunch of money because they're going to go out and publish that faster than we can.
Well, yeah, that's fine. We'll enjoy our year two from our comfy seats in our homes. So let's get right into it and say, first off, thank you to everybody over at our Patreon. Thank you so much. And we have a new patron this week. We have to thank Michael Thompson. So thank you so much for coming on board. And if you would like to support the show and any of our efforts, please go to patreon.com/colorofmagic.
I choose to believe that's Los Angeles Laker legend Michael Thompson celebrating the title. That's what I choose. Because I tell him the first thing he would do is go and drop on our Patreon to celebrate the title.
That would be cool. I mean, to be able to say we have a Laker that supports us, like, that'd be awesome. I'd definitely brag about that on social media. But I want to tell you also about our other sponsor, Cardsphere.com. They are super awesome, super helpful. And if you want to get rid of some cards easily without having to go through all the hassle of eBay and whatever and still have the convenience of being able to use PayPal, you can do that. Matter of fact, I opened a box last week. I think it was. Yeah, it was last week on stream. And I'd put a bunch of the cards on there and I already had them bagged up and out the door within like 48 hours. Matter of fact, one of them already got paid back yesterday and I have another one that looks like it's going to clear today. So already making money off stuff in a week. And it was awesome. Easy to do. You just got to go to cardsphere.com and set up an account. So check them out.
You do content and shout out the sponsors right there, all from the same set of transactions.
Hey, just being real, man. Like I try to align with things that I believe in and things that I can use or will use. And that's definitely one of them. For sure. Good people over there, too. So, yeah, give them a look. I'm big fans of theirs, honestly. They're really, really nice to us. So we have some things to cover,
man,
this week. So there's going to be a lot of things. So strap yourselves in. This is a good one if you need something to listen to while you're just hanging out on a train or something or whatever. Like, this is one of those episodes. So stepping up into the soapbox. It was such a good week. I got two things I'm going to tackle today. So I'm going to try to knock them out quick. But we'll get everybody settled down. Because the first one, I got to take a shot at my fellow nerds, man. Like, I've seen people getting online and I'll speak politely and say people are complaining about the New Mutants movie. We all knew it was going to be bad. Like, you can't go to a movie knowing it's going to be bad and just be like, this is the worst mutant X-Men, whatever movie I've ever seen. Blah, blah. Like, the movie was so bad that when we were watching previews a year and a half ago and that came up, we all looked at that and said, like, ooh, that's going to look bad. And then it was so bad in testing, it didn't go over well. Wherever they pushed it back a year. Then COVID happened. Then the movie still came out. And it was even worse than people thought it was going to be still. I'm like, we knew. Now, it's one thing to be like, hey, I was hoping and I was a little disappointed. But when you went in, when people are talking about the real high hopes they had for this movie, like, really? What about that preview looked like it was going to be good? I'll at least say the actors were good and they looked kind of cool and spot on.
I mean, you know, Maisie Williams, you're hoping that they'll get something out of this.
Yeah, I'll give them that. But that's about where it stops for me. Like, the visuals were awkward. The story is weird. Like, it's really just a C-level horror movie that happens to have some people with powers. And from everything I've read, the horror aspects aren't even good. It's just a weird way to take the franchise, a weird way to take X-Men and mutants. And like I said, we knew it was going to be bad. So to come on and be like, oh, I have so much disappointment. I had such high hopes. Like, what? We knew it was going to be bad from the get-go. We knew a year and a half ago. It's one of the, even for as bad as we knew Dark Phoenix was going to be, we at least were like, well, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, nobody looked at the New Mutants preview and was like, well, you know, it's possible. Like, no, everybody knew. We knew. Everybody. So, yeah, I got to get that out of my system.
I was going to say, has there been a case of a movie getting postponed for a year or two and then actually turning out to be decent?
I heard the Sonic movie was actually okay.
That is a good example because they did redo the character and everything. So,
yeah, I heard it was, you know, it wasn't great, but people are like, yeah, it was a decent movie to take your kids to or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was fine. So I'll give that one a pass under those situations.
For what it was, Jim Carrey, you know, was the right actor to actually play Ivo Robotnik with a straight face.
Well, yeah, that's true, too. All right. So this other one, though, I get to hate on somebody that was hanging around my comment section this week. And this is like, okay, I'm going to admit right now, I'm just being petty. Like, I'm having one of those human moments. And I just got to be petty for a moment. Like, I mean, really, that's all there is. So I'm calling myself out on my own behavior here. But, man, what is up with some people? So this dude, okay, let me just say, I have a video I posted up about the bannings. Because obviously people want to hear what I think, and I build decks every day for the YouTube channel. So obviously, I'm going to have an opinion. And let me also say that majority of people were pretty happy. I would say the video has something like 5 dislikes to like 250 likes or whatever, right? So not even too bothered about that whole situation. But this particular person decides to get into the comments and starts out with, well, getting rid of Lucky Clover is the worst thing ever because there were so many decks built around it, and now nobody's going to play adventure cards because Lucky Clover is not legal. What? Okay, first off, the adventure cards are 2-for-1s anyway. Like, they're already good.
Yeah.
Clover was just making them absurd and turning them into 3-for-1s or 4-for-1s is all that was doing. But then I was like, and then he went on to say, "There nobody's going to play more than 2. The actual quote, he says, there will be only 2 adventure cards being played from here on out. It's stupid. Now, my first thought is, without even thinking hard, if you're looking at the rogue decks, they're all playing Brazen Borrower.
Yeah.
We know a bunch of the green decks are playing Lovestruck Beast.
Yep. And Innkeeper is still good. He's just not as stupid as he was.
Yeah. And any deck right now that has red virtually plays Bonecrusher Giant. So that's already 3. We're not talking about Rimrock Knight that's in some of the red decks still. The white decks popping up are playing Giant Killer. Now that there's room for the mid-range decks to play some action, you're starting to see a little bit of Murderous Rider again. Like, there's a bunch of these that are going to get played. So I proceed to respond, but just like, well, let's slow your roll for a second, right? Let's just fact check yourself. And then I listed all the different decks being played right now. And this is even before Omnath got banned, that has all these different cards, right? And I basically put deck, and here's the cards that it uses or whatever that are adventures, right? And then I was like, and some of that is also accurate. As of the day it was posted, there were some tournaments on MTG Melee post-banning that also played some of these. So I'm like, dude, I don't know where you're coming from with this. And then he started to get angry, and I was like, look, here's the deal. I'm giving you facts. I'm giving you tournament results, and you're just bringing an opinion that's incorrect to my community, effectively. So, yeah, I got to stand the ground a little bit to keep people getting driven in the wrong direction. But then the funny thing is, let me find the actual quote here. This is what he says. And I'm going to read it. So I'm not making this up. I don't want to get this wrong because it's so absurd to even read. It says, LOL, I play Arena quite a bit. Top 5% of people who play based on how much I play. I don't know how he thinks he knows this, but okay. Not mythic level, but close. I see what decks I'm up against. You're looking at competition data. I'm looking at the real meta within the actual game based on what I see every day. Uh-huh. Well, yeah. Okay. So I'll stop there for a second. Like, first off, tournament data is real data.
Yeah.
Like, those are the best decks that people are playing because they believe they have a chance to win a prize. So I don't even know where that comes from. But then he's like, he looks at the real data that he sees every day in Arena, which even then, I don't know, maybe he plays 10 matches a day or something. Even that's a small sample size. And there's no way you can tell me you don't see all of the Bonecrusher Giants and all of the mono green decks and all of the mono red decks and all of the rogue decks that are all playing adventures, right? Oh, that's just not, there's no way.
There's just, he's got, I don't know what they're playing on his ladder.
Yeah, I just can't see it. I'm not buying it. But he says, other than the Clover decks, I have never seen Beast in another deck. Somehow he has never seen a person cast Lovestruck Beast outside of the Clover decks.
So he just hasn't seen any mono green decks, apparently.
But it's also weird because a lot of the Clover decks didn't even play Lovestruck Beast. I've seen some that just went without it entirely because they were playing the Beanstalk Giant. They were playing Brazen Bar. They were playing Bonecrusher Giant. You know, then they were playing the Fae of Wishes. Those were their adventure cards. The rest were other things to get advantage or try to close the game. So that was a thing. And I will say, some of them are playing Lovestruck Beast. I'm not saying none of them, but I'm saying I have seen some that weren't playing Lovestruck Beast. But then he continues. So he says, I've never seen Beast in another deck, period. Or Giant, period. Or Brazen Bar, for that matter. And I was like, okay, I don't know what this dude's playing against. But then he says, I have a Jank Teemer deck that plays Bar and Bonecrusher Giant, and that's it. Not going to argue with you, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, he goes on to finish it. I'm like, what? Where does this dude live? Who is he playing in Arena where adventure cards just don't exist? Like, that's crazy. I feel like I can pick almost any deck right now. Like, let me go look. Just as an experiment, I'm going to go into AetherHub here because that's where I keep my decks. I'm going to look at just user decks in the community. Click on the first thing. Let me do by day so I can see like recent stuff that's come up. All right. So I'm going to look at anything that's not a control deck, I'm assuming has them, right? And even then, there's possible control deck might even be playing like Murderous Riders or something. But it's like, yeah, so many of these decks have them. I'm just like, what is he even... Like, I'm just picking random decks and they have some. So I'm like, why would you not? Like, this doesn't even make sense. Okay, well... Anyway, that got me going. So I, of course, had to go back and forth with the dude a little bit. I had to post on social about it. But that, to me, when people talk about things that are obvious and every player knows these things and every player sees things and there are certain things that... No, that's just not true. It is just not true. People like this exist. This is so insane. I thought he was just trolling at first. I really did. I thought, okay, this is really positive. This is somebody that probably just doesn't like some of my content and just needs to take a dig at me or whatever, right? And then he continued on. I went, no, this dude's serious. Like, this is nuts. Like, this makes no sense at all. But yes, every time you take something for granted and think that everything is obvious, how could people have missed this? How would players not know this or whatever? Like, all I can say is there is a very large percentage of the player base that whatever you think is obvious is not obvious to them. And this is just one more example. And I saw it a lot when I was going to events all the time, when I was running a business, when I was like, you just see it constantly. Even when I saw data and stuff from different people in different stores and whatever, when I was at Wizards, it's just the way it is. I don't know what to tell you. Even with the internet and us having mobile phones and whatever, like it's a thing.
I stopped believing, you know, in things that everybody agrees on when I learned about flat earthers. It's just, there's nothing that we all agree on. There just isn't.
Well, even just look at politics. I mean, not to get too political on the show, but like there are things that are painfully obvious right now about COVID that people are still like, nah, it's not a thing. Like, you've had people literally be interviewed saying their friends, and like one dude said his close friend and his friend's kids caught COVID and one of them died from it. And he's like, yeah, but it's not really that bad. I'm like, what the hell, man? Like, these people exist. Like, so don't take anything for granted that people just know, because a lot of times people just don't.
It hadn't happened to me personally, therefore it's not bad and it doesn't exist.
Yeah, I guess so. That's the way some people see it. But all right, Brian, enough of me ranting. What did you learn last week?
Well, gee, now I feel bad because I'm going to rant a little bit. This is going to be the very, very angry episode of Color of Magic.
Go for it.
I'm just learning how, again, in gaming, people really don't kind of understand their own failings. I was playing a little Overwatch earlier, and somebody had, you know, as y'all know, Spectrum user, Daquan has had to edit about probably out of 52 podcasts, half of them, I've probably had some matter of internet issue. But somebody in my game lost their connection. Fine. It's happened to all of us probably at some point. They come back in, and the first words out of their mouth is how bad all the rest of us are at the game. It's like, but
wait.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. I know what you're thinking. Same thing I was thinking.
Wait, so wait. I just want to be clear. Like, so y'all were playing, I'm assuming, like a 5-on-5 or whatever, right?
Yeah. Overwatch 5-on-5. Yep, regular. So
their connection drops.
Yep.
Y'all are struggling, I'm assuming, when they come back in.
Yeah, V5, and then we lost that round because we were shorthanded for most of it. Yep.
And then they're giving you crap because y'all were down a person.
Basically.
Okay, continue. I just want to make sure I have the narrative.
Almost the entire round, and then came back, and we're talking about how bad the healers were, and we're all thinking, how do you know you weren't here for half the round? We can't heal you if you're not here.
How does that even make sense?
It doesn't. We're all just like, we don't, those of us that are on chat, like, we don't understand. Are you trolling? We don't get it. What are you talking about?
That almost sounds to me like somebody who's so used to complaining all the time.
Yeah,
they just have to complain. Yeah, like they don't even know what they're complaining about.
Yeah. Like, it's pretty obvious.
That's crazy.
And I said, I've dropped my connection multiple times. You just reconnect and, you know, okay, hopefully everything going. I apologize generally. But yeah, first thing they do is like, it's all such and such's fault. Like, for real though, it cannot be more obvious that it's your fault because you weren't here.
Yeah, that, man, I'm sorry. That sounds like an awful experience to have somebody team with you.
Just online gaming in a nutshell, where it's everybody else's fault.
Yeah, no lie, man. That's why I tell people, like, I will probably never fire up another game of League of Legends, but I love playing Teamfight Tactics.
Yeah, I get it.
All right. As for what I learned last week, I think after the bannings, and we'll talk about that a little bit here coming up, but I think after the bannings, I realized that a lot of people just don't know what they even want from Standard. I think each player you ask has this weird, I say weird, has this imaginary made up thing that they want, where every single card they don't like is either downgraded in power level or non-existent. And the like five or six obscure things they love building decks around are magically top tier competitive.
Yep.
That's sort of what it feels like. So people look and they're like, oh, well, they should also ban Great Henge, and they should ban Elspeth Conqueror's Death, and they should ban Embercleave. And I'm like, what? You just want like no quality cards to play with? Like, what are we asking for? Honestly, I won't ruin the rest of the content, but like, you know, the bannings were pretty good this time around.
Yeah, I felt like they nailed it this time. And I saw some people, you know, well, again, we'll talk about it later. You know?
But when you ask people, I don't think they really have a clear vision. Like they'll say some things and I'm like, okay, well, what do you want that outcome to look like? And it's a lot of people didn't have a real answer. Some people even said, I don't really know. you know, when they really were forced to think about it. I only asked like 15 or 20 people that I saw complaining, obviously. But I just found it amazing how many people have complaints. But when you ask them, like, what is it you're really trying to get out of standard? A lot of them didn't have clear answers. And for me, it's easy. It's just, I just want a thing where, yes, there will be a best deck. There's always going to be something. But maybe there's a new King of the Hill every couple of weeks. And that King of the Hill only makes up 20 to 30% of the metagame in any big event. That's it. Like, that's good enough for me.
And I mean, people are already complaining about Rogues, but I mean, it's, you know, it's a strong deck, but I mean, it's a fair deck. We thought Rogues were terrible, what, 3-4 weeks ago.
But the thing is, do we think there is a world right now where Rogues are going to be 60% of a field?
No.
Exactly. I'm good with that. Like, if we have the next big event and 30, let's say this weekend, I'm doing commentary for the Channel Fireball Showdown this weekend, right? The Pro Showdown thing. If that's 30% Rogues, fine. I'm good with that. It's not the 60, 70% Omnath. But yeah, I just thought that was an interesting thing that a lot of people are asking for stuff, but they don't really know what they don't. I guess they haven't really thought about what is the end product if I get everything I'm asking for. Like, what does that really look like? Now, I will say some of the complaints, too, are just people also don't like certain decks. So they're like, well, if we get rid of Torbrand, then mono red decks suck now or whatever. It's like mono red's fine to exist as a deck. Is it going to luck sack some wins? Absolutely. But that's fine. It keeps other decks in check. So I'm fine with there always being a couple of good fast aggro decks. The same way that I think at least one good control deck should exist at all times. It keeps some certain strategies in check. And there's a thing you can go to. That's what you want out of a standard in format. Especially with the limited number of sets right now where we got, what, a 5-set standard or whatever. But let's go ahead and use this to segue into the grand finals from last weekend. This was a pretty important tournament because it's kind of like the world championship equivalent we're going to get this year.
Yeah.
You know, where everybody had to qualify through these other means. It was just the top players, 32 of the best in the world who qualified from various means. And the prize pool was quite big. So, like, it's effectively was a world championship level event, especially in the time of COVID, right? Like, this is the best we're going to get right now. You can't have people fly from different countries. You can't rent a big venue and do all the flashy lights. And it's just, this is unfortunately the hand we've been dealt to deal with. And, you know, there's already some people saying like, well, it wasn't a real world championship. So, blah, blah, like, whatever, like call it what you want, but it was a world champ level event. I mean, you could not have looked at this field of players and said, well, the competition wasn't that good. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of that weird thing when you talk about, like tennis and golf or whatever, where we have the majors and people give those so much more value, but like on a week to week basis, 50, 60% of the field is those people anyway in the other tournaments. So I'm always kind of amused by that, like how much weight we put on titles for different things anyway. I don't completely get it, but I know it's a thing that we do. So, you know, I just live with it. But this event actually was pretty well done overall, I think, all things considered. I think the fact that we got new players and old players both doing very well in the event. And what I mean by that is, you know, players that have been around for 15, 20 years and players that have really made a name for themselves in the last like 6 or 8 years. There was a lot of that, you know, which I was very happy to see that people who had vested rooting interest in your like Raphael Levies of the world or Gabe Nassif, you know, he's been doing it forever too. And you could just as well have been rooting for somebody like a, well, Bursavage, who won, right? Like he's mostly, I mean, he's been around a little while too, but mostly known for stuff in the last 8 years or so.
And Austin's had, we've all had an interesting year. Austin's had an especially interesting year.
Very true. Very true. And but I think all of that is very interesting when you talk about something that it kind of reiterated. And I brought this up and something else we'll talk about later, but Magic is one of the games where you don't age out like you do in a lot of other esports. like you in a lot of, you know, if you're a professional Call of Duty player or Fortnite player, or whatever, you're kind of done after 25.
Yeah.
I mean, just the different organizations don't want to sign you. Getting sponsors is more difficult, whatever. Like it's weird to me, but that's just the way it works. With Magic, we have several players that are well over 30, some into their 40s, and still doing quite well playing Magic, which I think is great. I think it gives people a reason to continue with the product longer, to be lifelong fans of the product. I think there's a lot going for it.
Think about the rivalries you're going to build up over, like, where you could literally have a 15 to 20 year career. You don't have to worry about, you know, pulling your hamstring and it's over. And like you said, 19 years old.
Yeah. You know, that's a like Manning Brady thing, right? Where they were both in the league at the same time for like 15 years. You know, like that's a thing you can talk about. And you know, I will say there were other cool storylines in this event too, where you had Emma and Autumn, you know, that are basically best friends, you know, that made a top eight and were making a run at the title, which is very cool.
Yeah, and if anybody at this point saying that Emma and Autumn don't belong at the top table, you're just being a hater at this point, because you got no evidence to support that. You just hate is all you're doing.
Well, people forget that Emma also had a recent event where they just missed the top eight. I believe they finished ninth on tiebreakers. So it's not even like this wasn't in the works. You know what I mean? And Autumn won the first invitational we had, or that what? Not the invitational, the whatever we called the online things from last year. COVID's messing with me, but our first big arena tournament, yeah, or arena era tournament. It was a paper tournament that Autumn won. But, I mean, even people like Gertler, who's become a name really in the last few years. I mean, it's just like, it was a really good top eight. You know, I got to give credit. I think the presentation was nice. Whoever even picked the music for the intros and outros and stuff was very good. I mean, for the music and the breaks, that's something that was different.
Yeah.
The presentation for sideboarding, I liked. They had this little panel that would pop out. So you could watch both people sideboard in real time, and then you had their list of sideboard cards in that little panel. So that was pretty cool. Just lots of little things came together, I think, to make it much more watchable. And it's neat to see the evolution. And some of that, you know, I do have to say is probably because of the production company is also learning as they go along. You know, that there was a different set of needs before and different things you were trying to promote. But now that we're in this whole time of COVID and people are watching more online Magic, and even their company is learning things because they're working with people not all being in the same location. So there's a lot of things that we're finding out as time goes on, and how we can manage these events and kind of how we're dealing with stuff in the time of COVID. So it's good to see evolution, and, you know, to kind of just see it come through at the top level is nice.
We're going to see a lot of innovations that we're going to keep after this that maybe, you know, wouldn't have happened had we not gone through this weird time where everybody's locked up. But
yeah, I think so too. You know, because people don't think about this, but like when you're using, I'm assuming the same production company who's having to come up with plans to do paper events and they come up with plans to do online events, like they're splitting some amount of their energy, their work hours, whatever, working on the other thing, right? So not saying that the other products won't also be decent, but like to get those bigger innovations, they're not able to spend the amount of time on it because they're trying to basically do two things. But when you have 6 months to focus on just the online product, now you're starting to see more of those things coming out and coming together or whatever, which is pretty cool. I just hope it continues. Now, that all being said, we saw a crap ton of Omnath. And I will say, man, I felt for the casters. Well, okay. Let me say this before we get into this next segment. Trying to say, because I don't want to be too critical, but I feel like it needs to be said. So I'm trying to like speak very carefully here because I don't want to overstep, you know, my space really. But it did feel like more than once, the casters gave a free pass to a player making a decision because they were who they were and didn't give that same consideration to some other players at times. And that was a little bit, I'm not saying they did a bad job. So I don't want that to come off as like, Daquan hated the casters on cover. It's like, no, I actually thought they did a pretty good job most of the weekend. Honestly, I thought they were very good. So it's not that, but it's just a couple of times where you saw somebody make a bad play or make a questionable attack or not take lethal, you know, depending, you know, and yeah, maybe they were doing it because of different stressors going on and they were watching the clock and all that. Like, that's fine. But it seemed like they gave a couple of them free passes and just went like, well, you know, they're a top level player. Maybe they see something I don't see or whatever. But when somebody else made a similar, you know, mistake or whatever, they were kind of just like calling it out for what it was. And I'm just kind of like, you got to be fair across the board. Like, and don't get me wrong, I'm okay with playing favorites. I'd love to see more casters play favorites, honestly. I think it makes it entertaining sometimes. Because if I'd have been a caster, I'm not going to lie, I'd have been straight up rooting for whoever was playing against an Omnath deck. 24/7. I think that's
what most people are doing. It's just, you know, Omnath was the villain in the format.
Yeah, I'd have been all about it. So I am totally okay with that. But it just felt a little off a couple of times. That's all. But I will say, outside of that, I thought the caster did a really good job over the weekend. I think the different combinations of people they put together were entertaining. I think the chat really enjoyed a lot of it. I saw a lot of discussion there that was positive. So I think they got a lot of that right. And I will say, to their credit, there was at least 5 or 6 matches where you're just like, well, yeah, it's Omnath on Omnath. You know, and they had to try to make it entertaining or at least interesting for the like 5th time. You know, like,
that's just, as you say, your heart goes out to the casters, because that's one of the things, you know, that you can't control about, you know, collectible card gaming is, you know, any other kind of gaming. Like, okay, even, you know, in most shooters, it's not the exact same characters. There's something different. They're either a different gun or something, but just when everybody's playing the same deck, it's hard.
Yeah, that was a tough one. You know, and don't get me wrong, I did some casting when we had to deal with the what was it? The green enchantment that was untapping all the lands or whatever, right? That was a thing.
Oh yeah, Wilderness.
So, yeah, Wilderness Reclamation. Yeah. Right. So I get it. I've had to live through that. And you find ways to be creative. You know, so credit to them. It was not easy. But at the end of the day, Vent was good. Good job. With that, we got what we knew was coming. What happened actually kind of, I want to say, was it on Thursday, maybe? Maybe it was Friday. Yeah, I think it was Friday, actually. Somebody, I guess, was goofing around on magic.gg, I believe, and had found a hidden URL that basically said there was going to be a banning announcement on Monday. Wow. Not a surprise, though. We all kind of knew it was coming. You know, once you saw all the decks that got submitted, you weren't really letting a cat out of the bag. I believe Wizards let us know either, I think, on late Saturday or something that it was coming. And it was kind of what we expected. You know, it was Omnath, Clover, Escape to the Wilds. And those seem all correct. I think some people questioned why Escape to the Wilds. But what I tried to explain to people is that if you want Ramp to still be an option, you can't have Escape to the Wilds exist, I don't think. Also, there is some weird, and I don't know how to describe it, maybe it's just a groupthink, a revelation, that once a card becomes, I don't know, revealed or unlocked to the community, people start finding more ways to abuse it, right? Once the average person learns that, hey, this is a good card, what other decks can I put this in? And then we all start thinking about it. So it was going to be an ever-present problem until it rotated out at this point. And getting to put extra lands into play is a big deal when you have a bunch of landfall stuff. And like it just fit too many issues if we left it around. It would have been a dominant card.
We just learned this lesson with Growth Spiral. It didn't seem that bad when you read it, and then it warped the format.
Yeah, it was arguably one of the best cards in those Reclamation decks. So I think it had to go. I'm okay with it. You know, so far, as of this recording, we're basically, what, 2.5 days after the banning. And, you know, a lot of decks are starting to pop up. You know, I've gone, well, I recorded a video where I think, I don't even know if I played against Mill in one of the ones on Monday. I played a mid-rangey Golgari deck and played against a blue-white Flyers deck. That wouldn't have happened a week ago. So this all seems pretty positive. I see a lot of, one of the best things is I see a lot of people I would consider brewers trying out new things. We're having lots of discussions on Twitter about, oh, hey, that's similar to my build. I changed this thing or whatever. And like, hey, have you tried this card? You know, there's a lot of that going on that didn't exist in the last 2 weeks.
I played a couple of night decks last night. That was awesome.
Yeah, I just put one together last night while we're on stream. I'm going to make a video about it probably in a couple days. Right. I don't know if it's any good, but it's like the fact that it's even an option now is nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the quote I use this week when talking about it is sometimes whether we believe the bans are necessary from a functional standpoint. I think sometimes you have to make bans for a fun standpoint. Right. You're not talking about the functionality of a format as much as the fun of a format sometimes. And I think these have helped everybody get back to the fun because there are a lot of great cards in Zendikar that people were either ignoring or not playing much because they didn't have a real impact with the Omnath decks being around.
The party mechanic was going virtually unused.
Yeah. And even that's the unlocked. The
mechanics of the set, you know?
Yeah. So like everything, it's a new thing, man. It's like getting a brand new standard now. Now, how long that lasts, who knows? We'll find out. But right now, nobody seems to believe that there is a insanely broken thing over the top. Like, are the Rakdos decks really good? Yeah. Are the Rogues decks really good? Yeah. But everybody feels like they can find things and find answers and have counterplay to those. And that's what's important. Like, you can have a strong deck.
They're good, but they're fair, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, there is enough fairness that you can come up with something. Like, if we all knew that Rogues is going to be the number one deck, we can come up with some things to battle it, right? If we knew the Rakdos graveyard decks are going to be popular, then we can come up with things to combat that. But you didn't, like, a bunch of decks, like, literally could do nothing. Like, when you watch the Omnath decks, and I think there was one on turn 4, the person basically played 15 mana worth of cards. Like, you were so far behind. And not only did they play 15 mana worth of cards, they still had a couple of new cards in their hand to play next turn. Like, you can't compete with that. Unless you have literally the answer on the next turn, the game's basically over. Unless maybe it's a mirror and you do the same thing on your turn 4. Right? It was just a really bad situation. I'm kind of glad R&D responded quickly. You know, I wish they would have just done it last week, but I kind of get saying, hey, let's remove one card that we think could fix things and let's see what happens. But it just didn't go the way they wanted. You know, they set their hopes and dreams on it and didn't work. So you got to pull the trigger on the other cards. Take them out behind the shed or whatever. But I think it's ultimately for the best. I think everybody's happier now. Even just seeing the reactions on social media for the first 24 hours or so was so overwhelmingly positive. You can't really argue with those results. Now, got to get into some other business. And I know some people, like, okay, I'm just going to say this up front, because I did get a comment from somebody when I talked about another content creator. I guess this is going to be about a month ago. Maybe 5 weeks ago. And my thing is, I generally try not to. I just say, like, hey, if that person's business, that person's business. But when you're doing things to draw attention to yourself specifically and calling it out, or in this case that we're about to mention, a little bit of hypocritical behavior, well, then, yeah, people are going to talk about it. I don't know what you expect otherwise. And we, and like I said, I've called, hell, even on this episode, I've called myself out for having some behavior sometimes, right? Like, you got to hold yourselves accountable.
He's an angry young man, folks.
Yeah. But seriously, you got to hold yourself accountable. And we try to do that. But in this case, the commander quarters decided they were going to make a YouTube video, which we all know is going to equate to some easy views, about some Commander Legends, I guess we'll call them spoilers because they're definitely not previews, that were, I guess, German based on the cards. And I'm going to say they fell off a truck somewhere because we don't know how the person got their hands on them. And supposedly they were trying to sell them on eBay, which is how these pictures got seen or whatever. And went all out, like even put the pictures in their thumbnail and everything. Now, I will say this, especially having done it. When Wizards goes through the effort of putting together a preview season, there are a couple of people that literally line up a calendar and say, okay, we're going to preview this on this day. We're going to put this up on the homepage. This person's going to talk about this on Tuesday. We're going to give this person a preview card on Wednesday. We're going to have this video that goes up that connects to this person, blah, 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 right? There's a whole series of things that they're lining up to hopefully have a good preview season. Like real time, real effort, emailing people, putting together images, like real work goes into this. For people that don't know, this isn't just like, hey, here's a card, good luck. You know, it's like, no, everybody has a specific day. You know, they want to know how stuff's going to be launched. How these are the rules for using it. Like, you know, real effort goes in. And then for the individual content creators, especially right now, while COVID's going on, we got the time of COVID happening. You can't really just go and collaborate with people and do things for previews. And I can tell you, I did a one-man show on my preview, like had to record two different halves and line them up and try to find music that made sense and come up with a script that wasn't completely awful, you know, like, but it ended up being like a couple of days worth of like filming and editing. And all in hopes of that some number of people that are going to come to my channel or stream or however it is you decide to do your preview, come to check you out, see your other stuff, and then become regulars that you can hopefully monetize in some way in the future. When something like this happens, and we have said it on the show before, like I will not talk about things that are not officially previewed.
And this is a thing, you know, we sat down and had that, you know, like how, because it's obviously going, it happens every time a set comes out. So there was a thing we knew we had to talk about, and that's a decision we both came to, is that that's not how we want to do business.
Yeah, I'm just not. Like, I know all too well both sides of what goes into a preview season and the efforts people are putting in, and I don't want to ruin that for people. Like, I have been at Wizards where literally we had, it was the Ixalan rare sheet, I believe, had gotten, well, I guess the belief is that somebody who worked at one of the facilities illegally took some from the facility and was attempting to sell them. Well, once those were public, like, it's like, well, now all the cards and data's out. Like, that team and some of my team, we had to reschedule things and recontact people, and content that was done had to be rewritten. And what, like, real work and time had to be taken away from other things to go do that now. So the preview season still made sense and was interesting, and you could still use it to sell the set or bring traffic to the places you want to. So something like this is going to damage people. To how much? I don't know. Can't tell you. But people will be damaged because of something like this. Now, I don't bring this up to say, hey, previews are out there. People know about them. You should share them. Well, we've already established not everybody knows about them. Also, I can tell you now, because I'm me and you're you, Brian, like, and we do content and we're online, like, we would have eventually seen them.
Yeah.
But at the time that was posted, I didn't know it was a thing. And if I'm fairly well aware and connected and I didn't know, there's a lot of other people that wouldn't have known either.
I found out from you.
Well, there you go, right? So let's be real about it, right? There's a lot of people that didn't know. So don't just take that for granted that people just knew. But the reason we bring this up isn't even for that, Because if you're a new channel and you're trying to get views or whatever, you got to do what you got to do. I get it. You're going to put it up, talk about it. If it's just part of your brand, you talk about previews, you talk about Commander stuff, whatever. Cool. You're going to do what you got to do. The problem is the people in charge here are also people that were trying to drag the rules committee a week ago, a little over a week ago, you know, about the whole secret lair thing. And then trying to say, like, all these people on these rules committees and blah, blah, like, they don't have any integrity and they don't care about the game. And, you know, they're basically mouthpieces for Wizards, blah, blah, all this stuff, right?
They're sellouts, even though they don't get paid for all the grief they take.
Yeah. And by the way, when you're taking shot, like, I tell people, like, if you're going to take a shot at somebody who's built up their reputation, you better come with something better than that. Because I, man, until something's proven to me, I'll fall on a sword for Sheldon Mennery right now. Like, history of positive behavior for the Magic community. So, like, you're going to come out like that and say a person like that lacks integrity? And then, because I told you before, my theory in the world is it's basically credits and debits, right? You can have some down days and take out some debits if you built up a bunch of credit. But in this case, you went and tried to start building your account last week and you overdrew in 7 days.
Wow.
Like, let's be real about it. Like, that's what you can't do that, right? Like, when I was on here saying, like, oh, well, you can't put clickbait in your title if you're not going to try to deliver on it. And then I would went out a week later and did, like, 100% win percentage deck and played one game the next week. Like, yes, you should drag me. You know what I mean? Like, that should be a thing. And I wouldn't even have a foot to stand on. You know, I'd just like, yeah, you're right. I screwed up. But yeah, in this case, I'm just like, dude, you can't do that. Like, you can't come after somebody to that level, to the point that you're trying to make a whole new format. And then do something like this a week later. You know what I mean? Like, that just, it just looks bad. The optics are terrible.
The amount of views it gets says basically you can't. Because, yeah, while people are dragging him and his channel right now, is he going to lose, you know, over the long term, any subscribers off of this? It doesn't appear that that's happening. Or not.
Don't know.
A huge amount.
Don't know. I mean, And here's the thing. You do what you got to do for yourself. You secure your bag. You pay your bills. I got it. Not even. And that's the thing I want to be clear about. I'm not faulting you for doing it. Because there are several reasons people would want to post this type of video. There's a bunch of people that already have posted that type of video.
And I mean, if you cover Commander exclusively, I get it from a journalistic standpoint. You have to at least talk about it. It would be disingenuous not to say anything about it, because while we've discussed, like, not everybody's heard about it, but it is breaking news in your genre. And that's, you know, part of why people watch your videos, if they don't know, is to find out what's going on in the world of Commander. So you,
exactly,
that the channel has to talk about it. It's a matter of, you know, how you talk about it. Do you want to show the spoilers? And I've been proud of a lot of the Magic community where they have kind of joined forces and said, you know what, we're not going to support the basically stealing of cards, for lack of a, because it just, whoever has those cards ain't supposed to have them. They didn't get them legally.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of, you know, not wanting to support and encourage theft, essentially.
Yeah, I'm with you. And like I said, I get it. Like, their channel is the Commander Quarters. This is big news for them. They will have people who want to know about it. But I think you're right. There's a way you could speak about it. There's a way you could handle it. You know, there, you could cover the story but not talk about the details. You could even, honestly, I would have even said, like, even if you choose to do it, you say, look, I get the way this is going to look. I understand what's going on here, blah, 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 you know, and just take ownership of it. Even that probably gets you less angst, you know, I guess.
I mean, what we would do in the old school newspaper and magazine industry is, you know, we talk about it. We'd sometimes write a story about, hey, this is how we got to this decision. This is why we, because Lord, especially when I was at a community paper, there were so many things we knew that we essentially would end up sitting on or not covering to a certain extent, because there's just, maybe let's just throw out the hypothetical, somebody's having an affair. This is a family paper. There are certain pictures we don't run and certain, you know, situations we don't talk about. Kids are reading this, you know, and we would explain the process that we sat down and talked about and what went into it.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, that's what I'm saying. The mayor's, you know, naked pictures or whatever situation we're talking about.
Yeah, and that's kind of my point, right? There are ways it could have still been handled or addressed, even if you chose to talk about it. I mean, because even if you were just straight up and just like, look, like, this is a thing I've already had people emailing me about, hitting up my Discord, blah, blah, whatever. Like, it almost feels disingenuous if we don't talk about it or whatever. Fine. But I think the way it came off is just, man, it's rough when you got a bunch of people that were kind of behind you, and then you made this kind of like pseudo apology to the rules committee or whatever, to the people you were upset at, and then this happens so close after, and that's a rough look. So I feel for them, you know, it's a situation they kind of created, but like I said, if you're gonna come and you're gonna take shots at people, man, glass house. You know, like,
because next week you have Brian and Daquan are on here discussing, you know, the stolen magic cards in depth. And yeah, by all means, come at us. And we know that you will.
Yeah. And deservedly so. And I would own up to it and say, like, yeah, you're right. We missed a beat. You know, I've said so on other shows where I try to be careful about, like, we don't want to overstep our bounds speaking for somebody in different communities we're not part of. Or whatever,
yeah.
Right? Even though we're still trying to defend them or whatever. And if somebody sends me a message or responds to me about it, like I have said, like, yeah, you're right. We probably should have been a little lighter here. Yeah, maybe we should have invited this certain guest on or whatever, right? And you got to own that sometimes.
As a content creator, these are the responsibilities we take on, the discussions, because, you know, Daquan doesn't like to necessarily think of himself that way. But at this point, we are journalists. We're talking about the news of the day. We got, you know, in some cases we get dragged in deeper than what we planned to, but, you know, we sit down, we talk about it, and contrary to popular belief, we don't always agree on every step of it.
True.
But we get to a point where we can, you know, do a show.
I also don't want this to become a thing where it feels like, okay, we're just on here to try to badmouth other content creators and we just want to take shots at people or whatever.
Absolutely not.
No, but this is one of those situations where this person was the center of some magic news, you know, in the last 10 days or so. You know, we mentioned it last week, talking about the whatever we were calling the new for the captain format, you know, whatever. And then here we are this week going like, well, remember that? Like, yeah. You know, like, yeah. So we can't talk about parts of it and ignore the rest of it or whatever. So it just kind of created just a weird situation. And a couple of people had already messaged me about it. I was part of a discussion about it on Twitter. So I was just like, if we didn't talk about it on the show, I would have felt kind of weird. I've been like, we're sort of dodging the elephant in the room of the moment, unfortunately.
And it's hard to dodge an elephant. Believe me, I've tried.
For sure. Quick thing, some personal promotion here. Actually, two things. One, if you haven't checked out Brian's YouTube channel over at DL Caesar, go do it. He just hit 100 subs earlier today.
And that's another thing Daquan told me about, because YouTube's numbers have been a little wonky. So I just found this out before we went on the air. But thank you. As Daquan said, by all means, if you haven't checked that out, please stop by there. Because if you've made it to this point, after 53 weeks, you must kind of like to hear me talk. So,
also, to be fair, y'all got some pretty fun editing on this one.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with this one. And my wife knows now way more about magic than she ever planned to.
It's a fun video to watch, though. Seriously, like at least the first like 3-4 minutes where all the fun editing's at. Like, people should enjoy that at the very least. But I wanted to just quickly mention a new project that I got to be part of. This is something that we've been talking about since, gosh, like around the last week of June, first week of July. Various things, obviously, like a lot of things during the time of COVID, just things got in the way. Some people came and went from the project for various reasons. And we finally filmed the episode. It went up today, so you probably see it floating around social media right now. But it's a show called Supreme Verdict. It's being hosted by a company called UMG Gaming. And for those of you who don't know, UMG Gaming previously has done pretty much every other major game for esports, I think. I mean, but they've done, you know, the NBA 2K stuff. They've done Madden. They've done, I think, Call of Duty. I want to say Valorant, Fortnite, all that stuff, right? They have Fall Guys tournaments now. I don't know how those work, but they have them listed. So that's the thing they do now. And they're trying to branch into Magic stuff. And I believe the way this is working is we're going to be moving into a world where maybe they're going to start doing some Magic events and whatnot. And this is kind of a way to introduce Magic players to their website, which is very neat. Or their app, if you choose to download the app and listen to the show. But it's called Supreme Verdict. It's myself, Monty DeVudi, and Brian David Marshall. And it's such a fun group to work with. It's all three of us can talk a lot.
Do tell.
But I will say, we all have some familiarity with each other. We've all been around the Magic community for a long time. Between the three of us, we've been in just about every part of the Magic and or gaming industry. So it's a really good trio to have on. And we're kind of treating it in some ways like we do the morning sports talk shows when you're watching like ESPN or Fox Sports, and you have your three people kind of talking about the subject of the day or whatever. We're doing that, but on a weekly basis. And it was a lot of fun, man. I have to say, like, we had good conversation off camera. The chemistry between the three of us is really good. I mean, we do, and conversation just flowed. I mean,
are
we
you
almost
Skip Bayless? Is it which one of you is Skip?
I don't think we've decided who's Skip yet. I think it might be on a subject by subject situation. But yeah, conversation went so well. We almost didn't make it to all of the appointed breaks because we were just like, oh yeah, here's another thing we can talk about, and oh yeah, yeah, here's another, you know. And it was good. Cool. And so far, people seem to like it. I think it's awesome that people are responding positively to it. So if you haven't checked it out, please look it up. You can find it on my Twitter account or my Facebook. I've linked it and shared it a couple times today. You can also go to UMG Gaming, and it's on their page. So, or follow them on Twitter as well. And you can, they've been sharing it there too. So yeah, fun stuff. Just want to share that with everybody.
Now that I've said it, I'm trying to imagine what Skip Bayless would be like in Magic. Omnath is overrated. He's washed up. What are you talking about? He's not good at all.
Probably. Or maybe even just griping about, well, Wizards just acquiesce to the players who don't know anything.
Yeah. Like, prisoner of the moment.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's what it'd be, right? Wizards is just being a prisoner of the moment because of the grand finals results or whatever, right? That's what that would have been. Yeah, okay, so one other quick thing I want to touch on before we get into dinner table talk today is you may see some, I don't even know what to call it, just desperate's a little bit wrong, but just offbeat behavior for some of your YouTube content creators here in the next few days. And not in a bad way, but out of necessity. What's going on right now, for a lot of people who don't know, YouTube's had a bunch of problems behind the scenes as far as their data tracking. I don't know if some servers blew up or some people put, somebody fat fingered a button somewhere or whatever. But the month of September, pretty much every content creator I've talked to, whether they're very large or very small, and I have some different threads I'm following on Twitter as well, are they're all missing 1 to 2 weeks of data effectively for their revenue tracking. And that's, whether they were making $100, $500 a day, $10 a day, whatever, they're down to zero or pennies, under a dollar for that period of time. Additionally, almost everybody on the revenue trackers is showing pretty much half of October or more as not producing revenue for them or producing below what is considered normal standard for them. And not just like, this is down like 5%. You're talking like 70% plus for everybody, like across the board. So obviously the numbers are wrong. And if they check any of their tracking as far as AdSense, because that's how Google and YouTube pay you out, as you use Google AdSense, whatever, almost everybody's showing zeros for the month of October. So tomorrow, I believe, is when they're going to either cut checks or deposit money into people's accounts. And nobody even knows what they're supposed to be getting right now or if they're getting anything cases. So there's a good chance some of your content creators might just be like, hey, can y'all help out and buy some merch or maybe hit up one of my sponsors or do this thing or whatever and kind of get them some secured funds that they at least know what's going on or they can track. And I don't blame them. I mean, you know, some people, their sole income is from YouTube. So they need to get that, get paid, you know, one way or the other to pay their bills. The other problem right now is I know a woman who's canceled a bunch of stuff she had going on next month because she says, literally, I don't even know what my budget's going to be now. So, you know, people are making serious decisions based around this. So not saying it's anything major for a viewer or consumer to be worried about, but it's just like, hey, if you see some of your favorite YouTubers or people who make a large chunk of their money from YouTube asking you to kick in to maybe like join their patron, buy some merchandise, whatever, help them out. You know, like they could probably use it right now. And I get why they're doing it. But I'm just saying, if you see it pop up more than normal, that's really what it's about. And to kind of put it in perspective, I use on desktop, you know, the regular YouTube page, their YouTube studio, same thing as mobile apps. They have a YouTube app. They have a YouTube studio app. And none of those four things up until today were even tracking my number of subs correctly. I mean, there would be like sometimes a 400 sub count difference between them. So that tells you how far off the numbers were. And I get it, like some are going to lag behind a couple hours, but not that much. Like that's multiple days worth of subs that weren't being tracked. You know, there the views versus, you know, sub count or whatever were way off on all of them. Today was the first time I saw where they were all within like a couple of points each. So maybe whatever's getting fixed will be fixed here in the next couple of days, hopefully. But so far as revenue goes, nothing seems to have been corrected or fixed. Nothing in AdSense is updated. And there's a bunch of people panicking over it right now. So weird time to be a YouTube creator. I don't think it's anything malicious. I have reached out to YouTube. Multiple other people have. They have sent an update about a week later saying they still are aware of it. It's something they're working on. It's a concerning problem. I don't know what it is. They didn't say, but it's a known issue and they're trying to fix it. So just figured I'd give people a peek behind the curtain, I guess. But now we want to get a little serious, as if we haven't been the rest of the episode, and talk about this whole situation as we're, I won't even say coming out of COVID, but some places are still opening up. And talk about like, what are some ways, or let me ask you, Brian, maybe, because you're in Texas and y'all are definitely more open about things right now in the time of COVID.
Yeah, that's one word for it.
Yeah, definitely more so than we are in the state of Washington at this point. Like, what is, and I know you don't feel comfortable for a lot of things, but what are other players in your area doing that they're considering safe ways to at least interact in a gaming capacity publicly now?
As I mentioned this a while back, the DFW Facebook group for Magic apparently still is not posting live events. They're still getting a lot of pushback on that. I know a lot of people, you know, I guess we're trying to get to, I mean, I've heard rumors of, I guess you'd almost call them like, you know, like fight underground fight clubs or things. Because obviously, if people are wanting to post events to the Facebook group, somewhere they're having or trying to have events. So people are clearly getting together and trying to get together and trying to reach out. And I'm trying to use social media to do that, obviously. And I mean, people have contacted me like, man, I really, you know, want to get together. Like, I get it, you know, but I'm just, if you're looking for me to be in, I'm not in on this right now.
Yeah. And I get that for sure. You know, and I think it's tough because I do understand that for some of us, we're reaching, you know, month 8.
Yeah.
Gonna be month 9 soon that we've not been in our social groups. We've not gone to an FNM. We've not sat down and played a physical game of Commander. Hell, in some cases, not even played a board game with anybody.
Yeah. I'm fortunate in that respect, and then I do have, you know, four other people in the house I can play various games with. So I'm lucky in that aspect.
Yeah, I will say even here where we're doing a good job with COVID, keeping the numbers down, especially on a, you know, cases per thousand level, you know, the R number is down. So that's all very good. I'm still being very limited on how I socialize with people. I mean, I think we've had four total people come to the house to visit in this amount of time. I'm trying to make sure that's accurate, but I think so. And each one of them either does most of their work from home or they're in an environment where they're tested regularly for COVID. You know, one of them because they work around elderly people and veterans, so they have to be tested. But outside of that, we just don't. I mean, I've made a couple of trips to literally just drop something off at the post office and sometimes to go. Like I said, I went to the mall not long ago, literally because I went early and I went right in, right out. You know what I mean? But like, we're just trying to avoid it.
As I told y'all, I want to say probably last week, I did try to go pre-order a PS5 and that was in line and there was, you know, social distancing as best we could. And I'm even after, and that's more than likely probably the last, well, I mean, probably the last time I do it because there probably won't be any PlayStation 5s coming anytime soon. So, and I felt awkward, you know, most of the time.
Yeah, I'll say this too. I think it's hard to tell people, like I said, I mean, I get, especially if you live alone, like that's a real situation for people, right? If you've been alone and you don't even have a significant other in the house or a roommate or whatever to just have discussions with or occasionally play things with or watch a movie with or whatever, like, I get it. Like, that's got to be wearing on you after 8 to 9 months of just no human or minimal human interaction. Especially if you also work from home.
Yeah.
You know, but I think we still just have to be responsible about it. And I, even here, I see some where they're like, hey, let's at least set up like a picnic table outside and, you know, a couple of us can get together and we'll play a couple of games or whatever. Or there's a small group of people that they were trying to meet up at one of the parks for a little bit. And like, that's at least safer, right? And they're all wearing masks and doing their thing. And, you know, nobody's touching somebody else's cards and all that and just minimizing what they can. So that's at least a safe way you can interact, you know, to a limit. There's a local store that's doing events and limiting it to either 8 or 10 people, something like that. So people can stay spread out while they're playing. And I'm like, okay, that's the thing. They're also been really good, though. Again, everybody has masks. Everybody has sanitizer out. They've got their doors open for better circulation even, you know. So, I mean, people are taking steps. But when I see pictures and it's just like a normal crowd just hanging out at a place. Yeah. And it's like, what are you doing?
I've seen some cosplay convention pictures where it's like, oh my God. It makes my head melt to see how many people are in the picture and no masks or.
Wait, you're talking about during COVID?
Yeah.
They're on Twitter. Wow. I wouldn't even consider, like, I literally straight canceled everything I even had planned. Like, I was even talking, because I told you about the green light fund thing I filled out for, right? Like, that I would maybe be trying to interview retailers and stuff. Like, I was even trying to figure out, like, okay, well, what way can I do this that I can minimize the amount of travel around a bunch of other people? And if I was just going to have to drive, I was going to have to drive. Yeah. You know, like, that's the level I'm at still.
I hear you. There are so many, you know, stories that I had either pitched or was in the process of putting together that just physically can't happen. For my murder mystery troupe, usually in an election year, it's an election year, we're a county troupe, we do a whole big deal about this, but we obviously can't do that right now.
Yeah, another thing I want to point out is, at the very least, if you're going to try to start, I don't know, reintegrating your social circles into your life, go get tested. I can tell you from experience, I just went 2 days ago. I had my results back in less than 24 hours. It was a drive-up situation, so I didn't even have to go into the building. You know, I pulled up. They literally gave me this nasal swab, and it wasn't like, because before they were jabbing you to the back of your brain or whatever. Now they literally just kind of quick take the swab around in your right nostril, quick little swab around your left nostril. That's it. So it's no major time investment other than your time and just like waiting in the car line or whatever, which maybe took me like, I don't know, 6 to 10 minutes. It was not very long. Maybe different elsewhere. Just telling you what it was here. Went in, got my test. A bunch of places have free testing. I don't know if they're doing that elsewhere, but here they do have a bunch of places that had open free testing just because we're trying to make sure we catch all the COVID cases. I know because I have insurance with Kaiser, they had a thing that they just have appointed places you can go for Kaiser members. So that was nice too. But it was no harm. You know, and even here where things are good, if I'm going to work on a project with somebody or, you know, somebody's inviting me to help with a thing or whatever, I can at least say, hey, as of 2 days ago, I have tested and I'm clear, and I've otherwise just been at home. So, you know, you're at least giving somebody else the peace of mind that they don't have to be as concerned about. And even then, I'll probably still be wearing my mask and everything else. I'm not just going to like not do it because, you know, we were cleared of COVID at some point. But it's at least one more step you can take that's a minimal time investment and hopefully minimal to no money investment to at least know that, hey, everybody I'm around has a lower risk of spreading this disease. And that's at least one thing you can do to make it easier. And then still just keep your group small. Try to be in places where you do have good circulation, where you don't have to sit right on top of each other. You know, and it may be, obviously, maybe it may not work to be a full 6 feet apart for magic or whatever, but maybe if you're sitting across a decent sized table from each other and then there's a good 4-5 feet between you or the people sitting to your left or right, that'll help, you know, but at least take some steps. Just don't take it for granted. Don't try to go back to playing 20-30 person things. Like, yeah, I get that it sucks and yeah, we want it to change, but the reality is, the more we ignore the steps, the longer this is going to take. If we'd all got on board and done what we're supposed to, starting back in July or June, once we had all of our information on how this all worked and how things were spreading and whatever, like, we could have been mostly done by now. We can look at the rest of the world and see that they're out like damn soccer games and stuff, full stadiums. But you know what? They contact trace every damn thing that comes up. Like if a person coughs funny, you're like, cool, you go get a COVID test. If you found you have COVID, they have a team of people that will find every single person you've been in contact with for the last like 3 days and make sure that is not spread to anybody. Like we need to get to that level if we want to be able to enjoy things the way they want. I think I'll finish by saying, it is sad to see that the places that are opening up right now and trying to push for being more open are the places that already have the highest number of cases and increasing. For anybody that follows me on Facebook or Twitter, I believe on Monday I shared a cool chart that I believe the person is a doctor, actually, who put it together. But it basically shows from June 1, I believe, until, and it's updated. I thought it was just until last week, but today, when we looked at it pre-show, it was for October 13. So somebody's updating it. But it shows the increase in COVID cases by state. And one of the very sad things you can see is when you look at the states that have the most COVID cases, it's a lot of red states. I believe one was a neutral state. One was a Democratic state.
I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
Yeah, and that's of the top like 25 or something. And then of the bottom, all but I think like four were Democratic states. And a couple of the ones that had smaller numbers were also smaller states as well that were Republican states. So that probably plays into it. And one of the ones with the most cases, I believe, was actually California. And that's just from size. If you did the numbers on a per thousand citizens base or population base, it would probably actually represent pretty small by comparison. And take into consideration, these numbers include the state of Washington that had the first COVID case. So we had a head start on people. And we're now like 15th, I think, among states for the most COVID cases. Right? Or the fewest COVID cases. Sorry. you have New York, that we all remember New York being crazy back in June or whatever, right? When they were blowing up and things were getting out of hand. And they're now one of the states with the fewest COVID cases. So to have these other states, like we're talking about, what was it? Florida, I think we looked at, that had some huge number. And that's a smaller state that didn't have the head start that some of these other places had. And they're still trying to open more stuff up. You know, same thing in Texas and whatever. So just keep that in mind when you're deciding to get back to your social groups and integrate and do all that stuff. Not saying, you know, you shouldn't have fun and, you know, I get it. We're lonely and all that. Totally understand. But be aware of the situation and do it responsibly. And again, I don't quote those numbers to make it a political thing. I'm just saying, like, this is what politics has turned into, unfortunately. Like, it has literally led to people putting themselves in danger. It has led to people getting sick and or dying by significant numbers.
But my freedoms, Daquan, my freedoms.
Yeah. But honestly, when we're talking about numbers, we're talking about, you know, 34,000 in North Dakota, you know, 32,000 in Florida, 31,000 in Alabama. And when you're trying to compare that to, like we're saying, the state of Washington, where we had a head start, it's 10,000, less than a third. And we went first. You know what I mean? That's crazy. New York, that they had that crazy blow up situation and they're, you know, under 10,000. So like it can be done if you take the right steps. So these places where people are saying like, no, we can't do this, we can't do that. Like, these are the places where we're starting to get back to some normalcy. And you know what normalcy is? We just opened up our movie theaters so they can be at 25% capacity. But people are safe. Everywhere I go, people are wearing masks. Everybody's got hand sanitizer. Everybody's got new occupancy things posted. Like, you got to take precautions. So I'll say, each individual, we got to make decisions for ourselves. We do what we got to do. I understand in some cases, it is a mental game, you know, and you're trying to relieve some mental stress to be around your people again and get some of your gaming in. Totally makes sense. I agree with all that. But at the end of the day, you got to do it as safely as possible. So, Brian, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media?
All right. I am DL Caesar on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. Our family channel on YouTube is Alan's Ever After.
And you can find me just about everywhere at Power Dragon, PowerDragn. And I have a new YouTube channel, Power Dragon Outdoors. You can check out if you want to see chickens doing ridiculous things, because that's what I've been posting this week.
That's a selling point right there.
But as usual, whenever you are listening, wherever you are listening from, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And please, please, please wear your mask, wash your hands, stay away from other humans because people have the COVID right now. And let's get back to gaming as comfortably and as soon as we can. If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us at our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate. Other patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at colorofmtg. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.